So today we'll do a brief on the 2020 kind of supplemental budget overview. We'll talk a little bit about the supplemental capital budget, and then we'll do a few slides on the supplemental operating budget, both maintenance level, and then under the performance level of that budget, you know, what is our at-risk buyback piece that we're looking for to get fixed ongoing, and then we have some new enhancement items, some emergent items to look at. So we'll talk about definitions for those. And then finally, there's a slide that kind of cues up that conversation that we're talking about around fee bill, no fee bill, how to look for that mix. The supplemental budget is usually it's just an amendment to the biennial budget. It's not quite an opportunity in the way that the biennial budget is to seek a lot of new ideas or a lot of new funding. It's just taking that two-year bill and adding and tweaking some small areas to it. So generally, it's reserved for emergent issues that have come up in the interim or technical fixes. Do you want to talk about the capital side there, Nate?
Keep going.
Great. We had an infrastructure master plan queued up in our biennial budget, and so we're looking to try. We did not get that funded. I don't know if you remember that piece that was, hey, you know, we want to be able to create a bigger amp for hatchery production, you know, really be able to turn it up to 11. You know, we need some time and some money to think out how we're going to find the water and resources and infrastructure to do that and how to do that planning. We'd asked for that in our biennial budget and the governor's budget, and it did not get funded. We're looking as an opportunity if we really want to get the number of smolts out there that we might otherwise. This is that capital piece for that planning. The Seuss Creek Hatchery for Phase 3, we unfortunately did not get this piece funded in our biennial capital budget, and so we're looking for a quick solution here. We've got a little bit of reappropriation to keep the project moving, but we're hoping to get this fixed. The Herd Creek hatchery, you might have already heard a little testimony on that in the the commission. This is an attempt to get this one moving. There's some danger here and kind of a timeliness factor that helps it qualify for the supplemental budget. Beaver Creek Hatchery is another piece that we're going to be looking for as we transition production. And then finally, some of you might already know about the Wiley Slough dike raising, and you know, if we go additional summers or additional flood seasons without the protection there, we're risking some damage and some failure. So now I want to talk a little bit about our operating budget and how we frame our requests so that we can get as much credibility as possible, because that tends to be what turns into actual dollars and ultimately gives us funding. We'll talk about three levels of budget, credibility and method, kind of the context and size of our request, and then again that kind of buyback block that we have coming on, and as well as sort of an emergent topic list that we've queued up. So there are three levels to budget. I don't really want to talk about carry forward level. It's not where we make requests. Maintenance level, you might have heard about. That is just where we have increased costs if the price of stamps goes up. Even if we're not sending out more letters, we want to send out the same amount of letters we did last time. We need more money for that, and the covenant with the legislature is that we get funding for those types of items. It's a little bit easier, and it doesn't compete in quite the same way for those performance level dollars. Successful ask that we've had in the past has been something like the hatchery utilities. When the price of energy goes up, even if we're producing the same number of fish, we receive maintenance level dollars for that. So I want to separate that in your guys' minds, that maintenance level piece. We'll have a lot of those, and we don't have those presented here today. Most of those are timing and sort of we have to wait for the fiscal year to end, and then we'll have a long string of them, and they'll look pretty minor and small, and we'll deal with those in a future meeting, hopefully. The rest of this presentation is about PL, performance level requests, which all compete with each other when we submit them. And there's going to be two pieces in here. There's going to be kind of our buybacks block as well as emergent ideas. So here what you have is you have a split out of those that $24 million block of cash that we got one time for the current biennium. This was given to us mostly in the first fiscal year, and then the second fiscal year is really left hurting. And we believe that the legislative intent here is that this is an invitation to come back and try to get fixed, hopefully ongoing in dollars, in the second fiscal year, and then, of course, the third and fourth and on into the future for that at-risk work that we currently have. So right now what our goal is to seek ongoing funding for our at-risk work and then look at just a few emergent needs. A reminder, this is that $31 million block, right? These are those areas that are at risk. This is the work that we're currently doing. And almost all of this is on the block after July 1st of 2020. We've got a few dollars to do about a package and a half of these. And so there's quite a lot of risk built up in the agency in this second fiscal year. So we have an invitation, potentially, but we still have to remember that our performance level requests are going to compete against one another, right, as we look at this kind of these other new potential items. We're just cautioning restraint as an opportunity to increase our credibility. This slide, as Raquel was pointing out, shows in the blue bars what we requested in even number supplemental budgets for general fund state, and then the red bars are what we got. A couple of the red bars are bigger than the blue bars, which might seem like a good opportunity, but that's because other people had other ideas about what we should be doing and added them to our budget, right? Oftentimes beyond just what our own request was. Our supplemental request will be larger than any supplemental request that we've ever made, so it'll be, one way or another, it'll be historic. But again, I just want to, as this is a reminder for, this is the size of our supplemental request before that this upcoming kind of like list of items that we have. So here it is. Here's this list of items. These are these new emergent issues. I think they total about $6.6 million in the 1921 biennium. That's for both fiscal years. Some of them start in the first fiscal year. So we have monitoring Puget Sound stamina and co-management agreements. These are agreements around north of Falcon and also that monitoring Puget Sound sampling that we saw on the block earlier, right? So it's a combination of those two. We think that those might work together well as a combination. And ultimately, we need to get all of that monitoring work done if we're going to have fisheries. That's also why you see the funding. We're betting on trying to get that package in the first fiscal year if we want to keep these fisheries open. What that means is that we're pushing risk into the second fiscal year. We have to explain to OFM and the legislature what is going to be at risk for that first fiscal year, and what's at risk is the last remaining half package of fishing and hatchery production. So betting on this work and doing this work now adds risk to that particular fishing and hatchery production thing in the second fiscal year. The Skagit River and Steelhead and Catch and Release has a similar issue. We want to be able to prosecute that fishery this year, so we're trying to do it in the first fiscal year. That's adding risk in the second fiscal year if we do not get that funding solution. We've got our mobile app at a reduced piece for the second fiscal year, trying to keep the maintenance dollars for that work moving forward. We're trying to find an opportunity to do some of that pinniped work that we did not see get funded in the current budget through the ORCA task force. We've got the Nisqually River and Centralia diversion trap on here, as well as the coastal Dungeness crab fishery. And you'll note also a request for the Columbia River policy implementation. This is for alternative gear and some buybacks. We thought it might be, you know, necessary for us to ask for this money. You know, we haven't received it in the past. You know, I think there's a lot of policy issues here, but this is trying to frame up and talk about, well, if folks are going to want us to do that, then here's what it would look like potentially as a dollar amount. We've got dollars for suction dredging and also for the hydraulic code and civil compliance. Some of those are based off and emergent from some of the legislation that just finished. And then finally, about a dozen of our Issaquah staff got kicked out of their building, not because they were being rowdy or anything like that. It's just their lease expired, and that's really valuable property. They're cohabitating with Ecology right now, but Ecology is going to kick them out in a couple of years when they all move to Shoreline. And so we're just looking for an opportunity to help those folks find a home to work out of.
Mr. Keel?
Yeah, so what's the emergent issue with the coastal Dungeness crab fishery?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Kehoe, this has to do with the entanglement issue, and this is asking for funding for us to be able to write the incidental take permit request to NOAA.
I'm going to hand it over to Nate to talk about this strategy conversation you guys have been waiting so patiently for.
So,
thank you.
Can I ask a couple of specific questions?
Commissioner Thorburn, yes.
Slides, if that's okay. Looking at slide 24, the first of the performance level monitoring for Puget Sound Salmon and co-management agreements, how does that relate to the Puget Sound Salmon Management Plan? Can we move forward with a 10-year plan without having this activity?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Thorburn, they relate in that the requirements that we have that emerged out of North of Falcon were those commitments to do certain sampling, and those are commitments that we're trying to get for our permit. So the Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan would be a multi-year permit, but it's kind of, you know, still being developed. So these are annual agreements that were coming out of North of Falcon right now. So in that sense, they relate, but I'm not seeing anything that covers, you know, the multi-year piece. So
this is really to carry on what we're already committed to doing.
I see.
And then we are also working with the Indian Fish Commission to develop the 10-year plan as well.
Okay.
So it's related but separate.
So we would need, I mean, clearly monitoring would go on with a 10-year permit, so we would need probably a much larger package to go with that then. Is that?
I think that's a fair assumption, that if that plan were to come, you know, to develop, and there would be new commitments on top of these already annual commitments that have been made.
Okay. And then my other one, going back to the maintenance level, the first one is conservation. On the spreadsheets that we were given, that's a zero.
What that spreadsheet, I think, is trying to show in that particular table is how much we want to ask for. And so you'll see, like, the second fiscal year starts about 1.5 packages in, and then you might see, like, a year 3 and 4 where we need the conservation, because I mean, we can talk about, you know, which of these ones would be funded in the second fiscal year, but they're all gone in years 3 and 4. And our supplemental ask is to attempt to get the remaining funding that we need for most of the packages.
Conservation for both years of the biennium, there was some funding in there. Okay.
Right. Yeah. That's conservation work that we're already doing and is at risk in the second fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Maybe
okay,
I could just
real quick. Commissioner Holzmiller and then Commissioner McGeisey.
And this one's going to go back to probably about, I think, the third or fourth slide. And to see if I understood you right. It was one about, there you go, right there you were. Budget request for $1 million master plan to assess existing hatcheries, infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. So am I understanding that right? You're asking so that we can get some size up where we're at, have a plan going ahead. Okay, I'm going to give you a big attaboy on that one, because I would really like to see us, and Lordy knows where we're going to end up on Orca money, but it just bothers me, because it would be great to be able to parlay that into some hatchery production. But we're standing there with their teeth in their mouth, and we don't have any plans to bring forward. And I think this would be what we call seed money. In our world, to where you have your battle plans drawn up to when, if and when they ever do turn loose with some money, you're going, we can help you, buddy.
That's right. That's
right. So, no, I really like this one. Thank you.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And let me just tag along just a minute and say I agree completely with Commissioner Holzmiller. This gets back to our 50 million additional smolts for killer whale. We got the money. We actually got more money than we asked for hatchery production of fish filling holes in hatcheries. And it was a little unexplainable with all the good momentum on Orca why this $1 million wasn't there. So thank you for putting it front and center on this. So just to make sure I understand it, I think I can understand that we have to decide something about the capital business, of which that $1 million is part of it. Then inside the operating business, we have something that I've called told myself is making us whole. And that slide that was referred to, number 20, that says maintain conservation, Commissioner Thorburn was talking about, said $31 million. Way back on item number 11, where we talked about spending a lot more of what we received in year one and in year two, having about $8.5 million. There was something about a supplemental request of $13.5 million, which I thought was making us whole on the maintenance or buyback part of it. So I just want to be clear that it's not $31 million that we need to be made whole. It's the $13.5 million.
Commissioner, so what we really need is we need ongoing dollars. And in my budget brain, I always think about So for the biennium of 21-23 and all ongoing biennium after that, we've got a $31 million hole still because none of the money that we received was ongoing. So that's right. We need $13.5 million or so in the second fiscal year just to make it out of the second fiscal year alive. And then the biennium right after that, all that stuff is back on the chopping block unless we've got $31 million ongoing every biennium after that.
Okay. And then on the matter of...
And to be clear, that's that size of that block, and the problem is actually worse ongoing because of we've had additional added costs given to us on top of this already at risk work.
Is that part of your depression comment earlier?
Yeah.
On the matter of emergent issues, I think what you're saying is you've got a list of 10 things here, and if we wanted to go forward with all of those, they're going to compete against the making whole of the 13.5.
That's correct, Commissioner.
Going. Okay, so I think I understand that. Now, on some questions of these emergent things, the Columbia River policy of just over $1 million, you mentioned funding for alternative gear and buyback program. So in the Columbia River review process, both of those issues are on the table. They're still being talked about. The buyback matter slid to a low priority business because it's associated with Oregon. If you passed a buyback program in Washington and Oregon did not, then you would have failed at your purpose, which, again, what is the purpose of a buyback is another question. Is it to reduce the fleet? Is it to make them more economical? Or is it to eliminate the fleet? My reaction, I guess, to the group here is to put forward these Columbia River policy implementation issues with a dollar amount now would seem to be a fertile area for a lot of negative discussion when we're not even sure what's going to come out of the policy review committee. On buyback, for example, it recommends no buyback. And we're asking for buyback. It would seem a little rough. Now, I do know that we have to put something in there for planning in the eventuality that it went. But when that kind of thing is competing against making us whole, I would just have to say, until further discussion, that one makes me a little nervous. Another comment on the coastal Dungeness crab fishery. And the comment about credibility. So if that money is for writing an incidental take permit for whale entanglement, and we don't get it, And out of credibility, that means we don't write the incidental take permit and we suffer the consequences. That kind of a Sophie's choice doesn't make me feel real good either, which makes me think we should be asking for that, and it competes against our make us whole. So I could say something else about some of these other ones, but I'll leave it up to the table discussion. But at least now I understand anything on this list of 10, and the total there, I don't know what that total is, but anyway, that would compete against what would be a record high supplemental request already, just to make us whole. Okay.
If I may, folks on that table, bring this meeting into focus. It is now 4:30. We can stay here till 8 o'clock if we need to, but we're not. These two ladies and Mr. Holzmiller and I don't know who else have been in meetings from 7 this morning, including lunch. So let's focus and let's do the job here, what we have to do.
Can I make a comment, too? That was very good.
Well, I guess I'm done now, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm trying to be efficient.
I'm just trying to help. And I know you guys want to get to the meat of this, and so help us with it.
That was my point. The point is that I think Don's trying to piece together these parts. If we finish, there are charts coming up that put it kind of all out there in black and white. And I'd just like to also, so, and it's just not really all that much, so it's right here. Another thing, though, as we're going through these question marks for the commission members that we've danced around a bunch, that we'll need to decide is how much, it's hard to state this question without sounding pejorative, what level of principles or what level of guidance you guys want and we want to give. In other words, do we say, no, we think you should do Skagit River but not suction dredge mining? My personal opinion will be that that's a discussion that we need to have at some point, and I don't know if it's here or in August, but I think that's a condition precedent or a discussion we should have before we get to starting to look at small dollars or even big dollars. So, does that make sense?
And I would like to target on behalf of the work that you folks have done in this commission, if we can bring this to close by 5, that would be ideal. Okay?
So, really, there's a several questions that we would like to have guidance on today, if possible. Are there any supplemental request concepts that we've put forward that you all don't want us to advance? Are there any supplemental requests that you all want us to pursue and thus add to the list and shape so that we can present those in August? On the overall amount, on the table, we're looking at a supplemental of just over $17 million. Is that too high? If so, what would you like us to cut or remove from the list? Another question would be, what color of money? Would you like this to be pursued as all state general fund, or would you like to have this some combination of fees? And so there's a lot there, Mr. Chairman. It is a half an hour, but I think we can go through them. So maybe I'll just take them one by one. Are there any supplemental items that we've proposed that you feel like we should drop from further consideration?
The ask amount for the budget is like stunning. I mean, I've never heard of anything in all my years of working with state legislatures doing this in a supplemental. We hear from you that there are cues from the legislators that we've gotten permission to do this. But I react to it and am wondering if we need to do all those bills as well. should we hold back on bill on policy and solely focus on this stunning ask?
So maybe I'll add that to the list as well for questions then about just looking at the bill concepts that we've proposed. But any further guidance on the list of supplemental
question, Mr. Chairman?
10 and the block.
So when you talk about supplemental, You're talking about capital as well, I presume. Is that
yes,
true?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. So, for example, it looks to me, if I can find all the stuff, the capital request would be $1 million for the killer whale smolt enhancement, Seuss Creek Hatchery, Herd Creek Hatchery, Beaver Creek Hatchery, Wiley Slough, dike raising. That is all capital?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. From my perspective, I'm in favor of all of those going forward.
Mr. Holzmiller.
Thank you, Chair. There's a little girl sitting up there in the middle that I have a ton of faith in and has her finger on the pulse on this deal really well. And there again, I'm with Ms. Thornburg that this is a whale of an ask on a short session. And I don't know whether you'd be comfortable doing this or not, so I'm just throwing it out there, is whether you could kind of rate them of what you think is doable and what is not. Because there again, are we better to ask for the moon and hopefully get it, or get taken off at the knees, or ask something that you think is viable and that we have a pretty good chance of getting, even if we have to trim it back a little bit? So, and I'm sorry I put you on the spot, Raquel, but I do have a lot of faith in you, okay?
Thank you for that, Commissioner. We do rank with our executive management team any proposals that come in, and we had 6 really good ones and trimmed it down to 5, and apologize for not trimming it down even further before we came to you, because we wanted to at least get them in front of you and get your feedback. I agree, 5 is a heavy lift for a supplemental year where we don't have big budget priorities, but we have a huge lift on the budget side. It's going to take a lot of energy from the budget team and also from the legislative team to get that supplemental ask through. So I think Commissioner Thorburn's idea of being tight with what we put forward policy-wise is a smart one.
But here, you're asking $31 million, correct?
No. 17, sir.
$31 million is the whole. We hope it's going to be a carry-forward that equals.
Okay. Yeah. So if we were to trim that to 15... if we stood a better chance of getting it. That's where I get a little scary, because you're dealing with legislators, and pretty quick it gets to be their pet project, whether it's our pet project or not. To me, I guess it's less sort out the wheat from the chaff, and what do we really, really need? What would we want? Kind of falls into a different category. And there again, I think there's a lot of need there, guys. Don't get me wrong, but that would be where I'm headed. So,
and similar to what Raquel had shared with, we were at 6 bills and dropped it down to 5. We were at, I believe, somewhere north of $13 million of identified operating budget need, and we brought forward right around 6. So the needs for the agency and what we recognize of our unfunded mandate is huge. And so we're trying to winnow it down, but you know, we look at these lists of implementing the Columbia River policy and incidental take permit for Dungeness crab fleet, and monitoring and living up to commitments that we have with co-managers on Puget Sound sampling. It's just a long list of unfunded needs.
Mr. Graybill.
Mother may I?
Yeah. Kind of assuming that based on your experience through this last legislative session, I don't think anybody has a better sense of how to approach a legislature, what to anticipate with the legislature, than the team here. Probably what you're showing us is what you believe is belong. You've already done the winnowing. And I'm kind of trusting your experience and exposure to the legislature that this is about what we should be asking for. Not want, but need. And if it could have been reduced by more, you would have done it. You wouldn't have presented it to us. And I'm not saying that this is all going to fly. I'm saying that the first day that they're in session, you're going to start making adjustments and getting a read on what's going to fly and what's not, and that's what you do. Mm-hmm. I would like to allow you to do that.
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, let me. You took the words out of my mouth. But you guys are closest to this. You have been. I know that you've gone through a lot of angst and a lot of lost sleep coming up with this. A lot of times, if we look through this, what we would say cut is things we don't really understand or are the farthest geographically from our house or something like that. So I think that what the energies that you've put into this, I'm comfortable in following your expertise, given the experiences that you've just gone through over the last few months. You know, you've read the tea leaves better than we're going to read them. So I'm comfortable with your expertise.
Commissioner Smith, thanks for the feedback. You know, what I think what we're looking for here is what's the list that you would like us to take to start really shopping around? And then we'll bring you back a refined list in August. It might be that, for instance, the buyback is actually that proposal right now is to fund a contractor to help us work with industry to shape what a buyback might look like. But if industry says they don't want to do the buyback yet or there's issues with Oregon, then that's a proposal that we could drop off. But it's just that kind of having another 2 months of conversation around this list is what we're really looking for the green light today.
Mr. Baker?
So I also lit up a bit when I heard Commissioner Thorburn's suggestion about the new proposals. I think that if we are to have any traction at all in the legislature, every time one of you guys or whomever the team is talks to a legislator, it has to be about, you know, we're starving and not about whether we can have civil enforcement and enforcement. Now, but I don't want to, so I think that would be my position, although we're, you know, 16 minutes into a 30-minute discussion on this. You guys have all of the expertise. So I think I want to try to say something and see if we all agree and then have you come back, which is perhaps on the new policy proposals, the commission thinks that it might be wiser to focus more on budget this year rather than those. So you guys go back and talk about it, and maybe some people really have good reasons to do some of those. And so then we hear back. Mm-hmm. So that's on budget. I mean, that's on policy. On budget, my proposal, and I don't know if I'm speaking for everybody else, is that we keep the two bills that are currently alive in the legislature, and we have them in our pocket. That's the fee bill and the endorsement bill. We don't know yet whether or if we should go all general fund, which is terrifying to all of us, or to maybe even give the members an option to say, hey, maybe that fee bill wasn't such a bad idea when they're looking at the size of an ask. So I think that we should definitely, no matter what we do, make sure that we still support that, even if it's not our main approach, and also the $1 million for the capital cost. However, the question that Nate's asked a couple times that we haven't gotten near yet, and I don't know if we can or how we do it, is whether we want to give guidance to the department about whether we go into this unprecedented ask session advocating for a fee bill to make up part of that or not.
I am sitting here pondering it, and have a question. So a lot of the wildlife fund is funded by fees. Isn't that correct? And so
yes,
we've got that graph that you showed. What would happen to the wildlife fund if we went to solely general fund state? Would we continue to maintain or those special little funds within the wild? How would that be managed? Would the color of money, as Nate always says, change completely? Or
so That fund is tends to be about $100 million a biennium. What we're proposing is taking a $30 million problem statement kind of off the table for it so that it can live and thrive and continue to fund almost a quarter of our work. So if we were successful in the supplemental ask and we got general fund state for all of those items, then the fund would be healthy again and it would be able to support the work that was tied to it, because that work would have been shifted from the current onus over to the state general fund. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't help me make a decision about where I want to suggest on the fee bill. I think I like what Barbara just said in terms of, yeah, these are definitely alive and we should keep them alive, but how assertively we should pursue that is, I think, the other part of the question. Just let it come up.
Commissioner McIsaac?
Chairman, well, on the policy part of it as opposed to the budget part, I agree we ought to keep the fee bill alive. I think we ought to keep two options alive for our viewing in August, one being the status quo from last year, which I'm not very enthusiastic about, I'll have to say that, and maybe we can hear more to bring me around, but I think we ought to have the alternative to change the color of money and go heavier to general fund and just ask for COLA authority and something like a COLA, and we can decide later. But on the policy thing, I guess I'm agreeing, let's keep something in there. And there'll always be a license charge, even if it's not as big as we want, so the license money will still keep coming in. And on the other part of it, the budget part of it, I think Commissioner Holzmiller brought up the first fork in the road. Do we want to go big or do we want to go, he said 30 million, do you want to go 15? Do we want to go something smaller? And I'm in the camp of asking for more. When I said to go along with all of these capital requests, I don't know that much about Wiley-Slew. The other ones, I could sit here and talk about a variety of good justifications for, but I trust the staff has thought about the Wiley-Slew dike business. And so I'm in favor of not pruning that back and going forward with it. And on the rest, the maintenance buyback stuff and the emergent list, I'm okay with going forward that and having the advisory body and everybody else comment on it, think about it, and decide in August, which means I'm maybe not in that camp of saying, no, it's too big of a bite, we should never try it because we're taking too much of a risk that instead of getting all that $17 million, we're going to get nothing. So that's where I'm at the policy level on the budget part. At least one commissioner.
Commissioner, could I just ask for a clarification? So when I heard Commissioner Baker, if I understood right, talk about the fee bill, it was just that recognizing that the fee bill is still out there. Mm-hmm. It's on life support, and we could resurrect it in January or resurrect it in August, or the governor's office may look at our request and said, hey, guys, why aren't you looking at a fee bill? And they decide to put some horsepower behind it and resurrect it. Commissioner McIsaac, I want to make sure I understand what your proposal is. Are you asking us to continue to work the fee bill now as an option, or just to allow it and knowing that, yes, it's an option that's out there, but primarily just focus on general fund?
No, I was saying let's keep a fee bill alive.
Okay.
What does the fee bill ask for? Just a COLA, okay, and the rest in other words, not ask for much in that bill, or ask for a COLA authority and 15%. And I was proposing decide in August on that.
Okay.
But I'm saying, yes, a fee bill. I'm not saying let's quit with the fee bill. No. But what it does is it turns more of our requests in that color of money of general fund if you end up going with COLA authority only or something like that.
Nate, you got some feedback. Some of it's contradictory, and some of it's a little confusing. What else do you need to hear from us today so that you and your team can go back over the next 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever's needed,
And then we can get back together via a conference call, if appropriate, to focus a little better on what your recommendations are and how we can help you get there.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good to me. We can
Does that make sense in your world?
Yes. So, and to maybe summarize, then here's what I'm going to what I would do based on kind of the feedback that we discussed at the FISH committee, and then walking you through items here. We're going to balance the budget consistent with what Director Suswin had shared to all staff. However, we're going to ask for Puget Sound sampling and Skagit catch and release as a supplemental in the first fiscal year, in addition to asking for it in the second. We're going to go forward, continue to shape the capital budget proposals as we've submitted today. We're going to continue. We're going to take a hard look at the agency request legislation. Five sounds like too many, and we'll try to reduce that number. We'll look at the supplemental request, the operating supplemental requests, and have a conference call 2 to 3 weeks with some recommendations about what's on the list and what color of money would we recommend proposing that we start really publicly vetting to bring for a decision in August. Is that fair, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I think that's great. I would just want to add one comment to that, and then I'd like to see if the rest of the commission agrees with the philosophy you just articulated. If in 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is, 3 weeks, that the passion is to be prepared to reengage and energize the fee bill going forward, I think we need to have some in-depth discussion about how we do that, because I believe there are ways to engage with some of the folks in the recreational community, recreational industry, to get them to better understand the ramifications of decisions that are made, and I'd be prepared to help. I spent 40 years in that industry, you know, and talk turkey with them and see if we can't buy some support. So I'll just throw that out, and then I'm done talking now. Oh, I thought you were sleeping down there. Both.
And the last point Larry made, I think, is very important. I think it's going to be up to some of us, or all of us, to get a pet project and go talk to who we need to talk to. Because this is a heavy lift for these people. And there again, we can bring a different dimension to the debate. So I think it's one of those things that we all need to take a deep, hard look and go, okay, this is going to be a pet project that I will help with the lift on.
So if I may, does anybody at the front table disagree with what Nate just brought forward and then what I spoke about? No?
I just have one question. You said, if we bring the fee bill forward. But
well, they're going to go back and regurgitate all what they heard from us. And if Tuesday they know that this fee bill's got to get rocking, call us. We'll engage.
That's my point. Is I thought we were kind of saying the fee bill is there, and it wasn't that it has to get resurrected, that it's there.
It's well, sitting in rules. It's yeah. Just sitting there, Don, waiting to come out.
So there's not a discussion here of killing it now.
Then. Oh, no. Okay. To the contrary. Yes. Commissioner Kehoe.
I agree with you know, kind of Nate's wrap up. I think that makes sense. So my question is, I think the fee portion, we need to get have BPAG weigh in on that. And are they willing to do kind of the same level of support that they did last go around? Obviously, that wasn't enough to carry the day, but certainly they need to be engaged and take their temperature. I mean, are they willing to go to the mat again like they did last time?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Kehoe. Our next BPAG meeting is July 31st. We just had a conference call with them. We walked them through some of the budget concepts and some of the ideas about a fee bill. We talked about really the questions. If you could advance just two slides. One back. You know, really the fact that we've asked for fee bill for several years and haven't gotten it. And so it's kind of like, do we just go ahead and just ask for general fund, knowing that the fee bill's out there and that the legislature might arrive at that conclusion that's saying, hey, that's a lot of general fund. We have a fee bill parked here. Why don't we try to move it? So that's been some sentiment that we heard. Others had shared some nervousness about that and felt like we should use all of this interim session to continue to keep the pedal to the metal on looking for support of a fee bill. So we've kind of had mixed feedback thus far from BPAC.
I have one question before we close. Is your roster for the BPAC full, or are you open for any new small group of additional players? I'm not coming. I got enough things on my plate. But is it full, or could we talk, or what's your thoughts?
I think we're definitely available to talk about and looking at the roster. We're at a point here in the next week or so. I'm going to have a pile of reappointment letters to ask Director Susowin to review and approve. And if there's other groups and voices that are kind of key sectors that we feel like are missing from that body, then I think we need to take a hard look and think about inviting them.
Perhaps this week, if you'd like, you and I could talk on the phone about some different segments of industry and people that might find helpful, supportive, and anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Baker.
Yeah, it sounds obligatory when you say it, but when I think back on how much work all of you have done, especially the two of you since I've been in this commission, and how much you've brought us along, that we can have fairly detailed budget discussions now, where a couple of years ago we were looking at unfolding a little accordion to see whether we wanted to know anything or not. That is amazing. No, we have been working on being educated. One thing I want to say about the BPAG is that this goes along with one of the things that's particularly important to me, which is bringing in and making relevant and getting buy-in the non-consumptive users. Yeah. And then, so Kim and I talked about this a lot. I thought about raising the task force again. But that's another thing. I mean, two or three strikes, why bring it up anymore? Maybe we can do it. Maybe we don't need the legislature. So I just want to let people know that as part of the strategic planning and Big Tent, we're going to be looking at how to bring in other people. And then my starting remarks were, it's because of the dedication of these people that BPAG was so effective, because we gave them a forum, and we're going to need to do that with any other group as well.
Yeah. Mr. Smith has a comment. I have the gavel ready.
Right. Yeah, it's a short one, but it's because of you. You raised this. The organization of the BPAG or the list. Could you send that out? Because again, I think what Larry said. If there's a sector or two underrepresented or missing, and that we have an idea to float with you, I think that would be of benefit.
So. Yes, that'd be great.
See, that was a short one.
That was nicely done. Nicely done.